Men are stupid and ignorant. That is why they suffer. Instead of thinking, they believe all that they are told, all that they are taught. They choose their lords and masters without judging them, with a fatal taste for slavery. Men are sheep. This fact makes armies and wars possible. They die the victims of their own stupid duplicity. When you have seen war as I have just seen it, you ask yourself, how can we put up with such a thing? What frontier traced on a map, what national honour could possibly justify it? How can what is nothing but banditry be dressed up as an ideal and allowed to happen? They told the Germans, forward to a bright and joyous war, on to Paris, God is with us, for a greater Germany. And the good, peaceful Germans who take everything seriously set forth to conquer, transforming themselves into savage beasts. They told the French, the nation is under attack. We will fight for justice and retribution, on to Berlin. And the pacifist French, the French who take nothing at all seriously, interrupted their modest little rentier reveries to go and fight. So it was with the Austrians, the Belgians, the English, the Russians, the Turks, and then the Italians. In a single week, 20 million men, busy with their lives and loves, with making money and planning a future, received the order to stop everything, to go and kill other men. And those 20 million individuals obeyed the order because they had been convinced that this was their duty. 20 million, all in good faith, all following God and their prince, 20 million idiots like me. Or rather, no. I did not believe this was my duty. 19 years old, and I had not yet come to believe that there was anything great or noble in sticking a bayonet into a man's stomach, in rejoicing in his death. But I went all the same, because it would have been hard for me to do anything else. No, that's not the real reason, and I should not make myself out to be better than I am. I went against my own convictions, but still of my own free will, not to fight, but out of curiosity to see. Through my own behaviour, I can explain that of a great many others, especially in France. In just a few hours, war turned everything upside down, spread the semblance of disorder everywhere. Something the French always enjoy. They set off without any hatred at all, drawn by an adventure from which everything could be expected. The weather was lovely. This war was breaking out right at the beginning of August. Ordinary workers were the most eager. Instead of their fortnight's annual holiday, they were going to get several months visiting new places, and all at the expense of the Germans. A great medley of clothes, customs and classes, a great cocktail of drinks, a new force given to individual initiatives, a need to smash things up, to leap over fences, to break laws. All this, at the start, made the war very acceptable. It was confused with freedom and discipline, was then accepted in the belief that it was lacking. Everywhere had the atmosphere of a funfair, a riot, a disaster, and a triumph, a vast, intoxicating upheaval. The daily round had come to a halt. Men stopped being factory workers or civil servants, clerks or common labourers, in order to become explorers and conquerors. Or at least, they believed. They dreamed of the North as it were America, or the Pampas, or a virgin forest, or Germany as if it were a banquet. They dreamed of laying waste to the countryside, breaking open wine barrels, burning towns, the white stomachs of the blonde women of Germania, of pillage and plunder, of all that life normally denied them. Each individual believed in his destiny. No one thought of death, except the death of others. In short, the war got off to a pretty good start with the help of chaos.